This is Here and Now, and as we've been following the news from Ukraine, the news itself has become a story. As you may have seen, an anchor for the English language Russia-funded TV network Russia Today resigned on air last week, saying she could no longer work for a network that whitewashes the actions of Vladimir Putin. And this may be the kind of thing she was talking about. Here's a video featured on RT's YouTube channel with voices from Crimea about recent events there.
Ukrainian fascists have come to our land. It's a threat to Russians.
I'd like to address Vladimir Putin directly. I'm Russian too, just like you. Crimea is a small republic and Russia is a huge country. Defend us.
Well, let's take a closer look at RT and also other foreign-funded media outlets. Lawrence Pintak is founding dean of the Edward R. Murrow College of Communications at Washington State University. He's done some consulting for Radio Free Europe, and he's with us now from Northwest Public Radio. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Well, let's start by talking about Russia Today. It was started back in 2005. What was the idea behind it?
It was just as many other governments around the world are moving into satellite television, it was another example of how governments reach out to the world, push their public diplomacy and or propaganda, and try to win hearts and minds.
And in Russia Today's case, it has a reach of 630 million people across the world, 25% of cable subscribers worldwide.
And not insignificant audience in the U.S. by the standards of cable television.
And do people take it as something with a real point of view, or do they see it as just objective journalism, just as they would get on any other network?
Certainly, as you look around, as I travel around the world, and you see all of these networks available on satellite television everywhere you go, people look at all of them with a grain of salt, as they look at CNN with a grain of salt.
Well, let's talk about some of the others. What about China's CCTV?
It's right out there. It's telling China's story to the world. And like Russia Today, it will have a mix of what you or I would consider to be objective journalism and stories that are pushing the agenda of the government.
How do they differ then?
Well, I was sitting in Tbilisi, Georgia a week or two ago and was watching on CNN and other channels the fact that there was a big crisis in smog in Beijing that day. And I thought, I wonder how CCTV is covering it. Flipped over to CCTV, and in fact, they were covering it. Even though the government hadn't been talking a lot about pollution in recent years, they were out there interviewing people on the street and showing just how bad this was.
Now, the air, of course, is hazardous according to the Environmental Protection Agency. Let's show you the current situation. Buildings are obscured by the thick haze.
But at the same time, that's an example of pushing the envelope to gain credibility. When push comes to shove on a major story affecting foreign policy, like we're seeing with Russia Today now, they're going to toe the political line.
Well, yeah, and I wonder how often somebody from the government comes in and says, hey, wait a minute, that's not how we want you to cover that. Do it this way.
Well, it certainly happens at varying degrees at each of these networks. And, you know, I might add that remember way back when the American networks were carrying the bin Laden tapes and the White House called and said, hey, this really isn't a good idea. And they stopped.
Well, let's talk about the perhaps most well-known one of these, and that would be the BBC, which their reporters come on Here and Now all the time. And we hear them here in the United States. But the BBC is also, of course, heard all around the world.
BBC News with Kathy Clugston. American and European Union officials are meeting in London today to consider tougher sanctions on Russia.
Great news organization, but again, as you look around the world, it is seen as a prism of British foreign policy, and ultimately it does report to the British Foreign Office. It has always been the go-to source historically when everyone around the world relied on shortwave, it and the VOA, both seen as relatively credible, but both seen as pushing the agenda ultimately of their given countries. So when Al Jazeera came along, for example, in the Arab world, many people switched over to there because they knew they were going to get an Arab perspective rather than a British perspective.
But you compare it to the VOA, the Voice of America. You have to think that the BBC is more of a serious news organization, even for journalists, than the Voice of America, wouldn't you?
Well, serious is a relative term. I think, in general, it is perceived as being more independent and is less seen as being less responsive to the British Foreign Office than VOA is seen as being responsive to the State Department. VOA's mission statement also says that it represents America and presents the policies of the U.S. government.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America. On this edition of the program, the battle over Ukraine continues. The showdown over Ukraine began last November when then-President Viktor Yanukovych spurned an association agreement with the European Union in favor of closer ties to Russia. Moscow had strongly opposed the EU deal, which would have anchored Ukraine, a former Soviet republic, in the West.
Well, and the United States is in the position of also having a lot of broadcasts that are not VOA that are heard around the world. In fact, this program is broadcast each night in Berlin, Germany. CNN, of course, has CNN International and other networks associated with CNN that are seen all over the planet.
As is Fox News, for that matter.
Right.
So you look at, you flip on television in the Arab world or Africa or Southeast Asia, and there is a plethora of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of channels that you can choose from. So the landscape has changed for the VOAs and the BBCs. Way back when, there was no competition. Now there's lots of competition.
Lawrence Pintack is founding dean of the Edward R. Murrow College of Communications at Washington State University. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.